Blog Talk Radio.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. The official inauguration of a control centre in Istanbul to oversee the Black Sea Grain Initiative for the export of life-saving foodstuffs from Ukraine has been welcomed by the UN Secretary-General. The Joint Coordination Centre, which opened on Wednesday, will be staffed by senior representatives of Ukraine, Russia, Turkey and the UN. The agreement allows merchant ships to transport grain and related foodstuffs and fertilisers from the three Ukrainian ports in the Black Sea to the rest of the world. Since Russia's invasion began, it's been impossible to ship supplies to markets which rely on Ukraine's exports, raising the threat of dangerous food shortages. In a statement issued by his spokesperson, UN Chief Antonio Guterres underscored how important it was for all parties to work in partnership directly to reduce rising global food insecurity. Mr. Guterres added that the food crisis, and in particular high prices, would also be alleviated by implementing the Memorandum of Understanding between the UN and Russia on the distribution of Russian food and fertilizer to world markets. UN aid teams have said that they're ready to reach victims of a magnitude 7 earthquake in the northern Philippines that reportedly left 5 dead and more than 130 others injured. Tremors were felt hundreds of kilometers away in the capital Manila after the quake hit northern Luzon Island, the most heavily populated island in the Philippines, at 8:43 a.m. local time on Wednesday. Access remains difficult, however, as roads have been blocked by the emergency. The World Food Programme, or WFP, said in a short update to UN News on Thursday. According to the Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology, there were more than 13 aftershocks within hours of the initial earthquake. UN Children's Fund UNICEF said that early reports from the quake's epicenter in Abra confirmed damage to homes, hospitals and roads, with buildings evacuated temporarily. Pre-positioned emergency supplies and teams are on standby and ready to support the authorities' relief efforts, the UN agency said, highlighting that in any emergency, children are among the most vulnerable. A top UN-appointed human rights expert on Thursday has condemned the alleged double standard in Poland and Belarus towards those forced to flee the war in Ukraine. UN Special Rapporteur on the Human Rights of Migrants, Felipe González Morales, who is mandated by the Human Rights Council in Geneva, said that although hundreds and thousands of Polish households had offered a warm welcome to Ukrainian nationals, the reality for others seemed very different. Mr. González Morales was referring to third country nationals who'd been based in Ukraine at the outbreak of the war, particularly people of African descent and other minorities, who he said had not found it so easy to integrate in Poland. People with irregular migration status faced heightened difficulties in obtaining residence permits and proper shelter, said the special rapporteur after visiting the border area between Poland and Belarus. That was where tensions flared late last year when between 2,000 and 4,000 migrants, many from Syria, Iraq and elsewhere in the Middle East, were forced to camp in freezing conditions before the political dispute was resolved between both countries. Mr. González Morales said that although the border area was relatively calm compared to last winter, some migrants who included new arrivals had remained stranded between Poland and Belarus and subject to violence and pushbacks from both sides. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
For radio as godless as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
Coverage of Christian nationalism is having a moment.
We document the growing threat. Then, Bona Ahmed talks about Islamist threats.
And how she and others are combating them in Bangladesh.
That's coming up right after today's Democracy Now! headlines.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin's agreed to a deal with Democratic leaders on a major domestic policy bill to combat climate change and lower health care costs while paying down the national debt. The agreement caps nearly 2 years of negotiations that saw Manchin repeatedly foil efforts by fellow Democrats in the narrowly divided Senate to pass President Biden's legislative agenda. The emerging deal seeks to slash U.S. emissions by roughly 40% through the end of the decade at a cost of around $400 billion, with tax credits and rebates for home insulation, solar panels, electric vehicles, and more. The bill would also place a $2,000 cap on seniors' annual out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs and would, for the first time, allow Medicare to negotiate the price of drugs. The agreement with Manchin does not include a tax increase on wealthy Americans. Instead, it seeks to raise about $750 billion over the next decade through a 15% minimum tax on corporations. It's not known whether another conservative Democrat, Arizona's Kyrsten Sinema, will support the deal. On Capitol Hill, progressive Democrats joined climate activists Wednesday to demand President Biden declare a national climate emergency. This is Ashley Engel, an activist with the absentee Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma.
As you may know, Oklahoma is firmly situated on the front lines of the climate crisis and fossil fuel extraction. And currently, we are the epicenter of the nation's heat wave. In fact, we've experienced nearly a month straight of temperatures well over 100 degrees, with only hotter days ahead. Wildfires, drought, and man-made earthquakes brought about by fracking that are destroying our already impacted and neglected infrastructure. With a dependency on an industry that endangers us, it couldn't be clearer that we need a just transition now.
This comes as parts of North America and Europe continue to experience record temperatures. Meteorologists now say scorching heat in the Pacific Northwest is expected to last longer than initially predicted, with triple-digit highs forecast again today in some areas. The Federal Reserve voted Wednesday to raise interest rates by 0.75 percentage point. It's the fourth time this year the Fed has raised its benchmark federal funds rate, citing inflation rates that have surged to their highest levels in 40 years. Fed Chair Jerome Powell on Wednesday dismissed the concerns of economists who say the Fed's aggressive moves to raise the cost of borrowing will lead to higher unemployment and economic pain for working families.
I do not think the U.S. is currently in a recession. And the reason is there are just too many areas of the economy that are performing, too well.
A former top advisor to President Trump's chief of staff has recently cooperated with the Justice Department investigation into the events of January 6th. That's according to ABC, which broke news of Cassidy Hutchinson's cooperation Wednesday as the Justice Department signals it's investigating former President Trump as part of its criminal probe into efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Also Wednesday, the Justice Department said it has obtained warrants to search the phone of Trump lawyer John Eastman. Eastman was among speakers at the infamous rally near the White House on January 6th, where Trump encouraged his supporters to march on the Capitol, even though he knew many were armed. Russia's military has launched strikes on Ukraine's capital region for the first time in weeks. A Ukrainian military official said six Russian cruise missiles struck a military base north of Kyiv overnight. Elsewhere, there were competing claims over whether Russia had seized a massive coal-fired power plant in Ukraine's east. Meanwhile, the Biden administration's revealed its estimate of the number of casualties Russia's military has suffered since it invaded Ukraine in February, saying 75,000 Russian troops have been killed or injured in the violence. CNN reports the Biden administration's offer to exchange jailed Russian weapons dealer Victor Boot for U.S. citizens Brittany Griner, the NBA star, and Paul Whelan. Boot is an infamous arms trafficker known by U.S. authorities as the Merchant of Death. In 2012, he was sentenced to 25 years in a U.S. prison for conspiracy to commit terrorism. In Washington, D.C., Secretary of State Tony Blinken said Wednesday he expects to speak soon with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov for the first time since the war began, and will raise the cases of Whelan and WNBA star Griner.
We put a substantial proposal on the table weeks ago to facilitate their release. Our governments have communicated repeatedly and directly on that proposal. And I'll use the conversation to follow up personally.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said Thursday his nation is ready to respond with nuclear weapons if provoked by the United States or its allies. Kim's remarks came during a massive ceremony in Pyongyang marking the anniversary of the 1953 armistice that ended hostilities in the Korean War.
Our armed forces are thoroughly prepared to respond to any crisis, and our state's nuclear war deterrence is also fully ready to mobilize its absolute strength faithfully, accurately, and promptly to its mission.
Kim also blasted South Korea's new president, Yoon Suk-yeol, saying he was pushing the Korean Peninsula to the brink of war. His comments came as U.S. and South Korean officials said the North is preparing to carry out its first nuclear weapons test since 2017. President Biden says he's recovered from COVID-19 and will resume his normal schedule. Biden spoke from the Rose Garden Wednesday, where he encouraged people to get vaccinated and boosted and to wear masks in public indoor settings.
Here's the bottom line. When my predecessor got COVID, he had to get helicoptered to Walter Reed Medical Center. He was severely ill. Thankfully, he recovered. When I got COVID, I worked from upstairs at the White House in the offices upstairs. And for that five-day period. The difference is vaccinations, of course.
Nearly all U.S. states have seen steady increases in daily COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations over the past 2 weeks. Judges in North Dakota and Wyoming Wednesday temporarily blocked the enforcement of trigger bans on abortion, enabling reproductive health providers in those states to resume services after the Supreme Court's decision in June, striking down Roe v. Wade. Meanwhile, the West Virginia House of Delegates has approved a bill to ban nearly all abortions. The bill passed with the support of three-quarters of lawmakers. It now moves to West Virginia State Senate for consideration. A bill that would enshrine the right to same-sex and interracial marriage into federal law, the Respect for Marriage Act, is nearing a vote in the Senate. The legislation would repeal the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, and require states to extend full faith and credit to a marriage between any two people, regardless of sex, race, ethnicity, or national origin. House lawmakers approved the measure last week. Among those voting against it was Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Glenn Thompson, whose no vote against same-sex marriage came just days before he attended his gay son's same-sex wedding. A grand jury in Illinois has indicted the man accused of opening fire on a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, killing seven people. 21-year-old Robert Cremo is charged with 117 felonies over the attack, which also left more than 30 people wounded. The indictments came as Democrats on Capitol Hill grilled the CEOs of U.S. gun makers Daniel Defense and Ruger Firearms over their role in U.S. mass shootings. House Oversight Chair Carolyn Maloney said an investigation by her committee found major gun manufacturers have raked in over $1 billion in revenue from selling military-style assault weapons to civilians.
Our investigation also found that gun manufacturers use dangerous marketing tactics to sell assault weapons to the public. That includes marketing to children, preying on young men's insecurities, and even appealing to violent white supremacists. Finally, we found that even as guns kill more Americans than ever, none of those companies take even basic steps to monitor the deaths and injuries caused by their products.
And in Minnesota, a federal judge has sentenced former Minneapolis police officers J. Alexander King and Tu Tao for violating the civil rights of George Floyd. King received a three-year sentence, while Tao was given a three-and-a-half-year prison term. Both officers were convicted in February of failing to come to Floyd's aid as their colleague Derek Chauvin kneeled on his neck for over 9 minutes, killing him. King and Tu still face Minnesota state charges of aiding and abetting murder in a trial scheduled for January. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Nermeen Sheikh. Hi, Nermeen.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine that. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, and hello, all you non-Christian, non-nationalists.
And I'm Dan Barker, also a non-Christian, non-nationalist, but proudly patriotic, non-believing American. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. This is the July 28th, 2022 episode of Free Thought Radio. Grant Blaschka, who's with the recording studio Audio for the Arts, is our engineer in the Stephen Uhl Friendly Atheist Studio in Freethought Hall, which is the national office of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin. And by the way, the music we're going to be hearing between breaks today is from a band with which Grant Blaschka, our engineer, plays the bass. It's a band called The Earthlings. So Grant, what are we going to be hearing today? What is this from an album?
Yeah, this is all going to be off of our upcoming album titled Terra Obscura. We're going to be releasing that on August 6th. So, yeah, thank you for the opportunity to play some of it on the radio.
So this is a sneak preview then? Huh?
Yeah, actually, this is all unheard material.
Wow.
We've released one single, but none of the outros are from that. So,
and are you emphasizing the bass part on these outros?
Yep, that's all you're going to hear is my bass part. I've turned everything else way down.
Well, we're looking forward to
it. Well, we're honored to debut that music, Grant.
Yeah, thank you.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is a national association of freethinkers. That means people who form their opinion about religion based on reason rather than faith, tradition, or authority. So probably most of our members call themselves atheists, but we have a lot of agnostics, sprinkling of secular humanists, whatever you call yourself. We like to joke, we all disbelieve in the same God or gods. And of course, we work as a diligent state church watchdog, and we would love to have your support in this critical time at fffrf.org.
And it's not just the First Amendment. Today is the anniversary of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, adopted July 28, 1868. The 14th Amendment guarantees equal protection under the law, and, as has been gradually applied by the Supreme Court, has incorporated the Bill of Rights and other constitutional rights, including the right to be free from state-fostered religion to all citizens.
Yeah, so these were federal rights originally, and now they apply to all state citizens. This is something that we hear all the time. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, but it doesn't say anything about state governments.
Hmm.
Well, the 14th Amendment does. This week on FFRF's Ask an Atheist TV show on Facebook Live, FFRF's legal director, Rebecca Markert, and FFRF attorney, intake attorney Chris Line, joined you, Dan, to talk about politicking pastors. Rebecca laid out the legal reasons why it's unconstitutional for pastors and churches to engage in politics, and that includes also all 501c3 organizations such as FFRF. It's not just picking on churches. And Chris gave examples of instances where FFRF has reported these rogue churches to the IRS, and including a blatant violation by an Arizona pastor.
So I'm just going to say this and broadcast it around the world, and I'm going to look at the IRS right in the face. My name is Joshua Feirstein, the founder of America's Revival, and tonight I officially endorse Jerome Davis for Congress of the United States of America.
That's unbelievable.
Come at
yeah.
me, bro.
I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's
yep.
knowingly violating the law.
And so we immediately wrote to the IRS and said, please take him up on his offer and do something. And, you know, if something like this isn't going to be something the IRS is going to be taking action on, when would they ever? You know, like, this is clearly, he's asking for it. He's saying, please do something about me, you know, and take actions.
That's Chris Line, attorney. On our show, Ask an Atheist. And be careful what you ask for, Pastor. We also show clips from illegal sermons of other churches violating the law during yesterday's show. And you can watch that entire Ask an Atheist show on FFRF's YouTube channel. Go to that channel and look for the Ask an Atheist playlist. And you can also tune into the live show next week at 12 noon Central on FFRF's Facebook page, where you can ask questions during the show. And by the way, you may have noticed that recently the coverage of Christian nationalism is having a moment of recognition. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But first, Annie Laurie, we have some good news, don't we?
Yes, I was able to watch live as the National Capital Memorial Advisory Commission yesterday unanimously voted to support the proposal for a memorial to Thomas Paine in Washington, D.C., and this was a critical step toward getting the Department of Interior and related agencies to support the bill. The bill, H.R. 6720, was introduced by the esteemed Representative Jamie Raskin, and it still has to pass Congress and some of these other hurdles, but this was a real shot in the arm for the project, which I and FFRF have been very involved in through the Thomas Paine Memorial Association to finally get this recognition for the forgotten founder. And one of, at least one of the commissioners during that meeting said, gee, we're amazed there isn't already a memorial or monument to Thomas Paine. And I think everybody should be amazed. We wouldn't have our nation and so many of our basic liberties without Thomas Paine.
In our capital, they meant. There are, in other places of the world, there are some.
Yeah, places. I mentioned Washington, D.C., yeah. A federal amendment, a monument. So we also this week asked President Biden to declare a national emergency to protect abortion rights, and we asked all of our 38,000 members to chime in. We sent out an action alert, and you can go to ffrf.org/news, look for the action alert link to get talking points and how to reach President Biden or call the White House hotline number. And we're basically seconding the advice of Senator Elizabeth Warren and Patty Murray, who long ago, before when the leak came out on in May that they were going to overturn abortion rights, immediately wrote Biden and said, we need a health ombudsman, we call it ombudsperson, at the Department of Health and Human Services with clear authority to do something. We asked him to clarify what he's already done well, which is including trying to protect sensitive health and location data that can be used against women ordering pills online or crossing state borders for abortion care, and some other things. But most important, we urged him to order the use of federal property to become oases of abortion care in states with bans or inadequate services. There are more than 150 VA medical centers and over 1,400 community-based outpatient clinics that could ensure federal citizens and residents in all states have access to abortion care. So keep that pressure on. He's done some good things, but we need more. And then we also at FFRF hailed the House's strong rebuke to the U.S. Supreme Court over the last week. We've been delighted to see them passing legislation codifying rights that are endangered by the extremist Catholic hyper-conservative majority on the Supreme Court. And so on Tuesday, we saw that the majority approved the Respect for Marriage Act that was introduced by Representative Jerry Nadler, who's always so good on secular issues, not only codifying the right to same-sex marriage, but providing federal protections for interracial marriages. And I think that was very pointedly directed at Clarence Thomas, who is the guy on the Supreme Court who says we should overturn Obergefell. We should go after contraceptive rights, but these rights to privacy include interracial marriage, the Loving case, and he never mentioned that. And we also saw them pass the Equally Proactive Right to Contraception Act. Now they're sitting there in the Senate. We hope that Tammy Baldwin in the Senate and others will be getting more support for those.
Speaking of the Senate, FFRF is condemning Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell for some spurious assertions he recently made on the Senate floor about non-believers.
Americans of any faith and no faith at all can celebrate that we have a brilliant majority of originalists, textualist judges who will defend all of our constitutionality, guaranteed freedoms, and apply what the Bill of Rights actually says.
Well, he's wrong about most of us non-religious people, most of us people of no faith, as he puts it, are not celebrating these recent decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court, including the Kennedy versus Bremerton case about the praying coach. FFRF and 19 other organizations have signed a letter to McConnell. It's a letter spearheaded by the Secular Coalition of America condemning the statement. We're not celebrating that states are mandated to provide taxpayer dollars to discriminatory religious schools, providing religious instruction and programs meant to provide a public education to rural students, and that was in reference to this Carson v. Macon case and many other bad cases from the U.S. Supreme Court.
Now, on to Christian nationalism. There have been some great articles, CNN, Rachel Maddow. They're all as a result of the fact that Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene
and Boebert of Colorado
are embracing this term of Christian nationalism or actively going after separation of church and state. And last week we played some of Boebert's distasteful remarks, calling the separation of state and church junk. So this last week or past week, in an interview with the Saturday, U.S. Representative Marjorie Greene told the Next News Network while attending the Turning Point USA Student Action Summit in Florida her views on Christian nationalism.
We need to be the party of nationalism, and I'm a Christian, and I say it proudly. We should be Christian nationalists.
There they are. They're just coming out loud and saying that. We need to be Christian nationalists. On her own video blog, listen to what Marjorie Taylor Greene said.
And I believe that Republicans need to prove to the American people that we are the party of American nationalism, Christian nationalism. I'm a Christian. I have no problem saying I'm a Christian nationalist. And I think that's an identity that we need to embrace, because those are the policies that serve every single American, regardless of how they vote. They could be a Democrat and a progressive, but Christian nationalist or American nationalist, America First policies still serve those people because they're the right policies for everyone.
In other words, we would live in a Christian theocracy, evangelical version, where they would dictate to everybody, because that's what's best for you, because you have to live under their Christian
law.
We
would be second class, wouldn't we?
Well, and this is what they've already accomplished with overturning Roe versus Wade, and now they're gunning for LGBTQ rights and contraceptive rights.
And we're pointing out that we all love our country, most of us, I guess, we certainly do, but that's not nationalism. Nationalism is what led Europe into centuries of endless wars over these borders and notions of national superiority.
And in fact, Dan and I, we were quoted a great deal in the press this week, Yahoo and all kinds of other stories, because we had written Green earlier in June when she started talking this way and pointing out the dangers of nationalism, much less Christian nationalism. And also, by the way, just a little cheer that the Washington Post ran a very impactful news story. They had come to us for complainants who had kids in the school who might have been subjected to coaches praying, and we were able to find people for the Washington Post to interview, and I was also quoted, and NBC is doing an interview with me, and so it's good to see they're coming to us. Now, the Republican nominee for Pennsylvania is Governor Doug Mastriano.
He's the nominee for governor.
Yes. Yeah. And he believes that God intended America to be a Christian nation. He was there at the insurrection, by the way. He says he didn't go in. One of Mastriano's paid consultants is the founder of the far-right social media site Gab, which is an atrocious site that was making terrible comments after all of they went after the I forget the name of the synagogue there where they were shot down, and he said that they're a Christian nation and everyone else is second class. So let's listen to the Gab CEO.
So no, we don't want people who are atheists. We don't want people who are Jewish. This is an explicitly Christian movement because this is an explicitly Christian country. Now, we're not saying that, we're going to deport all these people or whatever. You're free to stay here, right? You're not going to be forced to convert or anything like this, but you're going to enjoy the fruits of living in a Christian society under Christian laws.
And we also saw Trump making this statement.
We will never, ever, ever back down. As long as we are confident and united, the tyrants we are fighting do not stand a chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone.
Well, no, not all of us Americans kneel to God and to God alone. So we're going to take a break.
You can also find our reactions to all of this on our website under the news link or in blogs and so on. So we're writing people and taking action on this very ignorant and dangerous crusade.
So after the break, we're going to listen to the song set to the poem Heaven by the British poet Rupert Brooke. It's really an entertaining poem. And then Bona Ahmed will tell us how she is promoting free thought in Bangladesh. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
And we're listening to Earthlings.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, "No gods, no masters." This is Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio, and I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and you may have missed, perhaps you have seen, this brilliant advertisement produced by Mothers Against Greg Abbott. It has to do with his views on abortion.
Texas Governor.
Thank you for your patience. There's no easy way to say this, but your baby has a catastrophic brain abnormality.
What does that mean?
It means that parts of her brain didn't form. Your daughter, if she is to survive, will live only a matter of hours after birth. During that time, she will experience a multitude of seizures and ultimately aspirate on her own bodily fluids. She will suffer. A decision will need to be made on termination. I wish I could tell you what to do, but there is only one person who can make this choice.
How much time do I have?
And that person is Greg.
Greg?
Who the f*** is Greg? Yeah, let me just give him a call. Hey, Greg. Dr. Robinson here. Listen, I've got a pregnancy that could... Yes? But I think this one is the... Yes, okay. Sure. Sure. Okay, I'll let them know. Yeah. That's going to be a no. Best of luck to you.
So that ends with the words, whose choice should it be? Don't let Greg decide.
And that's so funny, the doctor, to make the decision. There's a picture of Texas Governor Abbott on the wall, and he opens it, and there's a phone.
There's a hotline phone.
A hotline phone. What should I do about this? So a very powerful, taking choice away from the family, away from the woman. So... Next week is the anniversary of the birthday of the British poet Rupert Brooke. He was born August the 3rd, 1887. He was Cambridge educated. Brooke became a celebrity in England, and when World War I broke out, he joined the Royal Navy. But in 1915, Brooke died on the ship off the Greek island of Skyros of blood poisoning from an insect bite.
Bertrand Russell said there was no humbug in Rupert Brooke. He was certainly an irreverent freethinker, and his 1913 poem, Heaven, looks at the afterlife from the point of view of a fish. Dan set his poem to music. ¶¶
fish fly replete in depth of June, dawdling away their watery noon, ponder deep wisdom, dark or clear, each secret fishy hope or fear. Fish say they have their stream and pond, but is there anything beyond? This life cannot be all they swear, for how unpleasant if it were. One may not doubt that somehow good shall come of water and of mud, and surely reverent I must see a purpose in liquidity. We darkly know, by faith we cry, the future is not wholly dry. Mud unto mud, death eddies near, not here, the appointed end, not here. Somewhere beyond space and time is wetter water, slimier slime, and there they trust there swimmeth one who swam ere rivers were begun. Immense of fishy form and mind, squamous, omnipotent and kind, and under that almighty fin the littlest fish may enter in. Never fly conceals a hook, fish say, in the eternal brook. But more than mundane weeds are there, and mud, celestially fair. Fat caterpillars drift around, and paradisal grubs are found. Unfading moths, immortal flies, and the worm that never. And in that heaven of all their wish, there shall be no more land, save fish.
That was Dan Barker setting to music this lovely poem by Rupert Brooke called Heaven. And as a matter of fact, Katie Troy worked with you and turned this into a cartoon, and you can find that on FFRF's YouTube channel. And we'll try to send that out on Rupert Brooke's birthday next Wednesday, August 3rd as well.
An animated cartoon of that Rupert Brooke poem. So we're going to take a break, and as we go out, we're listening to, I think it's called the Terra Obscura album by The Earthlings, with Grant Blaschka playing the bass. After the break, we're going to hear from Bona Ahmed about promoting free thought in Bangladesh. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom from Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are going to hear Bangladeshi-American author, activist, and producer Bona Ahmed. And this was an introduction for the recipient of the Avajit Roy Courage Award at our most recent convention last November. And you'll hear what it's all about as she's introduced.
Bona was introduced by FFRF board member Cheryl Colby.
Good morning. Many of you will remember that Rafida Bona Ahmed, known as Bona, was FFRF's first Forward Award recipient. She and FFRF co-sponsor an annual Abhijit Roy Courage Award in honor of her husband, Abhijit, an author and well-known Bangladeshi American atheist who was killed by Islamic terrorists in 2015 in an attack that nearly killed her. Bona has since co-founded the educational charity called Think, which creates and publishes short, appealing videos on science, reason, and history, and which reaches out to those in her home country, to India, and to the world, to educate and inspire critical thinking. Bona Ahmed will tell us more about Abhijit Roy and the Abhijit Roy Courage Award and Think. Following that, FFRF Director of Communications, Amit Paul, will introduce the 2021 awardee, who has received a memorial plaque and $5,000 as part of the award, and who has sent a video acceptance speech from India. Please welcome the talented and courageous Bona Ahmed.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. Nice to see you all here in Boston. I hope you're all staying safe. I'm really honored today to announce the third annual Abhijit Roy Courage Award with FFRF. This year's award goes to Sushant Singh. Congratulations, Sushant. As far as I understand, he's not here. We are going to actually see him remotely or over the video. But today I have been asked to actually introduce the award, the Abhijit Roy Courage Award itself, and Dr. Abhijit Roy, and also some of the exciting things that we have been doing lately. Our fascinating new endeavor, Think, that Cheryl mentioned. And right after that, Amit Paul will introduce Sushant in more details. As many of you know, this Abhijit Courage Award was announced by FFRF in 2018. Abhijit Roy, my husband, and I were brutally attacked by the Islamic militants while we were visiting our home country, Bangladesh, for a book signing trip from Atlanta, where we used to live, in 2015. And he was killed, and I barely survived. It took me a few months to recover from the deadly wounds. And anyways, it's going to be actually 7 years. It's very strange. It's going to be 7 years in February, on the 26th of February, to 2022. Time flies, I guess. So Abhijit loved to write, and that was actually one of the things that we fought about a lot, because he would be writing all the time. And he wrote about science, philosophy, religion. He wrote 8 books on subjects like philosophy of no religion or homosexuality or like origin of life. Did everything start from zero? So we were attacked because of these writings, because we were atheists, because of what he wrote, the way he criticized religion. After the attack, a killing spree went on. In 2015, it was a bloody year in Bangladesh. The militants vowed to kill one a month, and they succeeded in doing that. It went on for a year, and many of the secular writers, teachers, bloggers, publishers in Bangladesh were attacked. Many of them were killed. Many others were actually either silenced or actually forced to flee the country. And with that, they didn't just stop or kill people, they killed ideas. Bangladeshi government, it's very sad, Bangladeshi government actually also started clamping down. They still have a very, I don't know what to call it, a draconian digital act where you can be sued or you can be actually put in jail for criticizing religion, among other things. Anyway, by that, like the killing spree and the year of killing, the rich humanist content that people like Avijit had been creating before that for decades actually, all stopped, came to a halt. But anyway, I have said this story. I have told this story many times on this stage. I think this is my third time in the convention too. So today, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the present, the future, and how we are actually showing respect to Avijit, his memory, his sacrifice. After all, we just live once, right? So. At the core, Avijit was an educator, a humanist educator. He was all about open source, opening up the cumulative wealth of human knowledge to everybody. We even kept our already published books that we wrote over the years. I only wrote one. He wrote so much more. Open on Muktamona, which is the actually first free-thinking Bangla site that Avijit founded in 2001 when he was a PhD student in Singapore. I wrote a book on evolution almost 15 years ago, and it is still the go-to book on that subject, on evolution. You can imagine, if it's such a big taboo here, how big of a taboo it can be over, you know, the other parts of the world. I'm flattered that this is still the only, you know, the go-to book, but it's also sad. There should have been like hundreds of books like that. Avijit and I always actually wondered why should the free, high-quality education would be limited to the West only in English. There is a lot of crap. Don't get me wrong, there is a lot of crap on YouTube, on social media, even in English. But if you want to find good content, reliable content, any kind of dependable content, you can find it online. But there is almost nothing, close to nothing, in many other language, many other countries. For the people who do not understand English, it's very hard for them to, you know, get this wealth of knowledge that we share over here.
And that is the Bangladeshi American author, activist, and producer Bona Ahmed, speaking at our annual convention in Boston last fall. We will hear the rest of her talk after the break. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Member of FFRS and promoter of Real Wellness Lifestyles. I'm no longer willing to say, in God I trust, so help me God, God bless America, or pretend America is more under a God than any other nation. Join the resistance to Christian nationalism and politicians more attentive to what they think God wants than the needs of their constituents. Let's make separation of church and state a reality and turn back the drift to theocracy. Support FFRF. Our freedom really does depend on freethinkers.
Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm
I'm Annie Laurie Geller, and we're back with our final segment of Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker. Let's continue listening to the rest of the speech by Bona Ahmed. She's the Bangladeshi-American author, activist, and producer who is promoting free thought in science around the world, especially in Bangladesh.
I looked through my first language, Bangla, the Bangla YouTube world, and it's littered with religious content, fake news, unreliable information, pseudoscience, and sadly, those videos have like millions and millions of views. So we thought we will honor Avijit's work and the other fallen comrades by going back to the basics, very basics, going more mainstream, creating high-quality, dependable content in native languages like Bangla, Hindi, Arabic, that will make young people curious, will make them think, will make them ask questions and question the status quo. I'm sure you all will agree that you first have to question it if you want to go away from something or if you want to break the current status quo. So Imtiaz Shams, who actually has traveled here from London, another humanist who worked with me, and we decided to open a YouTube channel. Yeah, it's kind of funny. We opened a YouTube channel, and it's kind of funny that I am a YouTuber now, I guess. It's really, you know, this is not the age that you become a YouTuber. Okay, all right, I'll take it. But we have to go where the young people are. We have to talk to them. We have to share, like, you know, what we have encountered, what we have seen, what we have learned. Our first stop was Bangla, of course. I have a bias. That's my first language. I actually lived in Bangladesh until my high school. 250 million people speak it. Dan told me yesterday that it ranks as the fifth most spoken native language in the world. Okay, so let's make it real. Let's talk about Think, the YouTube channel that I just mentioned. We will show some of our videos up there and see what we have done so far. This is Think Bangla channel on YouTube. Started in 2020, last year. We already have 80,000 subscribers and more than 3 million views. Thank you. Thank you. It was unexpected. And the support of the world's best and biggest humanist organizations like FFRF. Thank you. Thank you, FFRF. Okay, let's dive in a little bit more. This is one of our most favorite videos. This is on periods menstruation. Seems benign, right? But this is a very big taboo subject, like anything to do with your body, especially with women's body, or sex education is a big, big taboo. Some other people got in trouble, some other YouTube channels got in trouble for making video on periods. So we thought we'd just make our own, showing how it happens, why it happens. You need this if you want to reproduce, right? So to our surprise, we got such a good review on those. Feminist organizations are telling us that they are using it for training. So, you know, we, the people, like all of us who have founded Think, we have built charities before. MTS and I, we have actually created charities. MTS has created Faith to Faithless. I have worked with Abhijit on Muktabona. And every video we make, we work on researchers, professors, experts from all around the world. We are definitely, definitely the first to do that. Recently, we have worked with Humanist International to focus heavily on climate change content, like making climate change content, which disproportionately affects people from that region. We actually built our first studio in London, and we're really worried. We're terrified, worried that we would get shut down by the government, mass reported, or canceled. They know who I am. So, you know, like how social media works. But as we grew, something wonderful happened. Even our most like taboo subjects like human evolution and other subjects, we actually got really good audience and conversations started. Comments from even religious people. Our audience love our astronomy videos. Space is mysterious, mind-boggling, I guess. Animations are cool. This is one of our experts from California who does a lot of videos with me on astronomy. But I think there is something else to it that people like astronomy videos because they don't really conflict or challenge your ideas about religion like evolution does, right? Like evolution of life does. So these are one of our favorite videos, and we have excellent, excellent editors who are like the documentary editors like who are making these videos. This is actually one of our most favorite videos that we have made. She is a trans woman in Bangladesh, Ho Chi Minh. As soon as we made this video, our audience started talking about how it's important. We should not ignore and or hate the people who have been historically maligned. It got more than 800,000 views on Facebook. Yeah, we are on Facebook too, sorry. that's where the young people are. I guess we are on Facebook, Instagram as well. So that's Think Bangla. Oh, I'm sorry. Imtiaz actually will kill me if I don't mention Think English as well because he was the presenter there. I did the Bangla one. He did the English. So we initially started with Think Bangla and Think English both. Funding issues, resource issues meant that we had to pause the English channel. But to our surprise, out of very few videos that we have done, some of them went viral. I guess MTS went viral, and we had like almost 2 million views on that video that we just showed. So that's there. That's Think, the charity foundation, charity organizations that we have created. We have registered it in London, in the UK, and also in the US as a charity organization. We think Avijit would have loved it if he were here. Almost 7 years ago, when the humanist writers, bloggers like Avijit were being murdered for writing some of those exact things, you know, it was, it's amazing to see that conversation has started again, and we are there, out there, a new generation of young people who are internet first and engaging with this kind of content, engaging, getting curious, asking questions. I will end with Steven Pinker's quote. He said something yesterday. He said, there is no universal law of progress. You have to be the progress you want to see. I often say something in Bangla, I'll translate. Progress doesn't happen in a linear way. You have to sometimes go backward, few steps backward to go forward. We think we are trying to bring the conversation forward as Avijit wanted, in places where people have very limited access. Thank you. And thanks, Sushant, for doing what you do. Thank you very much. Ahmed is going to come.
And that is Bona Ahmed, the Bangladeshi-American author and activist and producer of the Think videos that are going all over the world, educating people about science and reason. And Bona was offering the award to the Indian actor and activist Sushant Singh. We saw a video of his at our convention as well. Speaking of Indians, not Indian Indians, but American Indians, we just heard the news, and maybe we can talk about this more later, but that the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation of the Oglala Sioux have just expelled the missionaries from their property. These Christian groups were coming in and bad-mouthing Indian tradition, saying that the Native American religion was demonic and that Jesus was the only way and that the Indians needed to convert. So they are temporarily expelling them until they can receive some assurances from these missionaries and evangelists that they will treat the Native people with some respect.
Yeah, I kind of like that reaction more than up in Canada where they were kind of, you know, they had to accept the apology of the Pope, but glad to see some self-preservation there, some action.
Preservation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of people under assault, Dr. Caitlin Bernard is the brave physician who performed the abortion on the 10-year-old Ohio fourth grader who was raped and had to leave her state where abortion was illegal to have her abortion take place in Indiana, and they're now debating overturning abortion rights in Indiana. It looks like they're going to ban most abortions there. If you live there, please contact your legislators. But anyway, she did everything right, but the zealous attorney general in Indiana is now trying to prosecute Dr. Bernard, claiming that she didn't do reporting, and she did, in fact. And so she's contemplating suing him for defamation. And she has been speaking out on CNN. She's been writing op-eds and in the Washington Post, and she is really a wonderful advocate for the need for abortion rights and medical attention to it. And so we just want to kind of salute her. And now she is being not only harassed by the AG from Indiana, but by anti-abortionists around the country because the story has gone national. And her family is taking threats. And here she did the absolutely medically right thing to help a 10-year-old far too young to carry a pregnancy and give birth, who was raped, and the right wing was trying to say she wasn't raped, and now that's all been debunked since they've arrested her 27-year-old rapist. You know, denial that these things happen. The anti-abortion movement denies reality. So anyway, we salute her. We salute the Oglala Sioux also for speaking out. It was kind of wonderful news to see.
Because all these issues are really under the same umbrella. Our organization cares about abortion rights because primarily the opposition to it is religious, and that's been pretty clear that we're fighting religious orthodoxy.
It's a state church issue.
Yeah. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you, Grant Blaschka, and also thanks for the music that we're going to be hearing from The Earthlings. And we want to thank you listeners for listening to Free Thought Radio, listeners in Philadelphia to WOOMLP, listeners in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania to WZML, to in Madison, Wisconsin to WID and WMUU, in Janesville, Wisconsin to WADR, in College Station, Texas to KEOS, in San Marcos, Texas to KZSM, in Columbia, Missouri to KOPN, Eugene, Oregon, KEPW, Bellows Falls, Vermont, WOOL Black Sheep Radio, Kingston, Rhode Island, WRIU, and Ithaca and Watkins Glen, New York, WRFI. And if you're listening to us on the podcast, as many of you do, please give us a thumbs up and tell everyone you know about Free Thought Radio. They can learn more about us at ffrf.org/radio.
You can also find out about the new podcast, We Dissent, featuring female attorneys working for state church separation, including FFRF, and the last show dropped last week on the Dobbs decision on abortion. You can ask for more information at the Freedom From Religion Foundation's website, ffrf.org, where you can see a join or a donate link. We would love to have your support as we have a big fight ahead of us to protect the constitutional wall of separation between religion and government. We can send you a sample of our newspaper and a brochure so you can get further acquainted. And we invite you to tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday